Hello and welcome to another episode of Gully Cricket to Bouncy Wicket podcast. I'm your host Srinivas.
Hi everybody, this is Raja.
IPL teams have been settling between Dubai, Sharjah and Abu Dhabi. So as our Raja who has been settling between Gurgaon and Hyderabad. So Raja, how have you been?
I've been good. It's been a long time since I've been a part of the show for the last 2-3 weeks, I think. Things have been happening pretty hectic on the professional front. So and I've been traveling quite a bit as well. So missed the show and missed you guys also. And I'm very eager to get into it and talk all things cricket.
Yeah. So IPL has been moving at a fast pace. It has been started COVID scare in the beginning, but fortunately it all went good from thereafter. And there has been an interesting India versus Australia women's series, which has happened. 3 ODI series has been concluded today. So, let's talk a bit about it, Raja. So probably you said you haven't followed it much. So as many of our listeners would not have followed. So for those who haven't followed, I'm just trying a new format here. I'll try to brief what happened in the matches. Then probably you can say whether it is interesting or how it went. So let's try something new this time about women's ODI series. So let me just give you a small recap about the England series, right? India played England. India played 3 ODIs there as well. So just to recall what happened in England. So first two ODIs, India have been put to bat first, and India scored 202 and 225, where we thought, you know, India were not able to put a good score on the board. That was the biggest problem that we have discussed in England series. Yeah. And third ODI, India won the toss and they decided to bowl first, and then they won the match, right? They have restricted England to 219 and they won the England third match in England. Series was 2-1 in favor of England. So just keep these points in the back of mind. Let us see if India has improved anything from there, from England, right? So first match, India lost the toss. Australia has won the toss. And obviously, they have put India to bat because they know India's weakness is in batting or in putting good score when they were put to bat first. So India failed to do that. They continued their form from the England series. They have put 226 on board. And Australia has chased the target with 9 overs in spares, right? So that's the first ODI. Simple. It's done. But really, things got interesting from the second ODI. So again, India lost the toss. India was put to bat first. Again, they started really well this time and they have put 275 on the board. Really good score, right? At least we can say where they have failed in the first match has been, you know, done decently in the second match, yeah. Right? So Australia were 52 for 4 at the end of 15th over, which means their required run rate for the next 35 overs is 6.37 runs, which is not easy, right? 6.37 for 10 overs or 15 overs may be fine. But they have to score at that rate for 35 overs. So in next 30 overs, Australia lost only 1 wicket, right? And they needed 41 of the last 5 overs and they brought it down to 13 of the last over. So trusted workhorse, Julian Goswami was given the ball. He bowled brilliantly till then. She gave only 29 runs from the 7 overs that she bowled. And she conceded 10 runs of the first 5 balls. Right. So Australia needed 3 runs of the last ball. So Julian Goswami bowls a full toss. Nicola Carey hits it to square leg and fielder takes the catch and Indian players started celebration. It would have been wonderful had the story ended there, but unfortunately that's not the end. So on-field umpire refers to third umpire to check height for no ball and third umpire decides it as no ball. It was a tight call, really, really yeah. Tight call. It can go either way. So Australia now needed 2 runs in 1 ball and Julian Goswami bowls a slower one. Nicola Carey squeezes it towards long on area and they ran for 2 and Australia won the match and extended their winning streak of 26 matches in a row. So what were your thoughts listening to second match story, Raja?
Oh, incredible, man. Like, Australia having that kind of a record in itself is a great moment in history. We don't give them enough credit in terms of cricket fans, in terms of women's cricket and how they're going. But Australia has been a powerhouse and their performances have been dominant. And to have that kind of a record, irrespective of the pandemic, over a period of years, that shows the kind of stature that they have. Having said that, things have been coming down to the last over and last ball of a no ball. I saw the clips of the ball in question. Oh, I don't know what you felt, but I thought it was very, as you said, it was marginal, but I thought it was slightly above the waist. What did you feel about that?
Yeah, I think it's really tough to take the decision for the umpire in that match situation. Right?
Yeah.
Let's look at it that point of view as well.
Yeah,
we are
Indians. Yeah.
Our team lost it. But let us say the decision went against, let's say India were batting and Australia were bowling. Definitely, we would have, asked them to declare it as a no ball, right? It was a tight call. It happens in games.
Sometimes what happens is that we forget that it's a 50 over match, right? There are so many things that could have happened that could have changed the outcome. A dot ball somewhere during the 50 overs could have changed the turnout of how the match ended. So, yeah, I think it was hard luck, but I don't think that it could have been such a scandal or it was a scandalous decision. It was tight and it went in Australia's favor. I think you have to take it on our chin and move forward. And I think that's what India did.
Yeah, that's what India did.
What happened in the third ODI.
Yeah, yeah. Let's look at third ODI. So Australia won the toss again. Probably they got bored of bowling first. So they said, okay, we'll go and bat first. And Australia were down by 87 for 4 by end of 25th over. Right. And in next 25 overs, they have put 176 runs and they ended the innings with a score of 264 on board. Amazing comeback, right? The first 25 overs, it was 87. And then they lost 4 wickets as well. Like top 4 they have lost, but still they went on and scored 264. So Indian batters started well and India were at 59 when Smriti Mandana got out in 11th over. And India were at 160 when Shafali Verma got out after scoring a well-controlled 15 30th over. All is well till then. But in the next 10 overs, India scored only 48 runs and lost 4 more wickets and found themselves struggling at 208 for 6 in 41st over when Mithali got out. Deepthi Sharma and Sneha Rana initiated the damage control and they brought down the equation to 24 runs needed of the 24 balls. Deepthi Sharma gets out in the next over and Sneha Rana hits 3 consecutive 4s in the same over and India now needs 10 runs from 3 overs. Sophie Molyneux, who is bowling with a bandage on her face, is back into attack. She's having a bandage between nose and lips running behind her neck. Just imagine, we all know Anil Kumble bowling with the bandage against the West Indies, right? Having the bandage covering the jaw. Like imagine if it is a vertical bandage, in this match she is having a horizontal bandage like this. And she is bowling and she is on the field. So she bowled really well and she gave only 2 runs of the over that she has bowled. Now India needs 8 runs of the 2 overs. It just reminded me of Punjab Kings. And I thought they should not really repeat what Punjab Kings has done a couple of days ago. So India need 8 runs from 2 overs and they need 4 runs from the final over with Sneha Rana also back in the hut. And Julian Goswami was joined by Meghna Singh, who is playing her third ODI international. Now India needs 3 runs of the last 4 balls and Julian Goswami dances down the track, lofts it straight and it went for 4. And India ended the winning streak of Australia and series ended in favor of Australia though. But definitely India has won the match and it has been a nail-biting match, Raja. So your thoughts on the third ODI?
No, great, great story, great storytelling also. And a good thing to note here, I think, is that you look at the team that has pushed us through in this, who are the stars of this chase. You have Shafali Verma, fairly young, very spirited and incredibly controlled innings, out of character pretty much, because we've known and heard her as a dasher. And then you have a very young Yastika Bhatia, who's stuck around and made the change and did so well. Deepthi Sharma is pretty young. Sneha Rana just made an incredible comeback into the Indian team in the England tour. So many youngsters and so many, inexperienced people just putting their hand up and leading the way, and obviously supported and you know, so on the shoulders of someone like a great Julian Goswami, who was there to finish the game. So incredible story, and credit to India, but incredible that Australia has kept it, kept that kind of a run for so long.
Yeah, I mean, man, it's unimaginable, right? Someone winning 26 games in a row. It's like,
and let us, okay, let's forget cricket for any format, any sport, any kind of this thing.
Yeah.
26 unbeaten runs. We would look at the guys like Djokovic and all that. They have had runs like this, or Nadal, or, you know, on clay or something like that. They've had runs of 40, 50, 60 games in a row. You know, and they are, and it gets even more difficult in team sports because there are so many uncontrollables and so many different factors. Incredible. And that's what I meant when I said it's a moment in history, and sometimes these kind of achievements are underrepresented or go under the under everyone's radar, but it's important to note these kind of things and understand what we're witnessing.
And I think there are a lot of positives for India in this series, like you already mentioned Estika. She played beautifully, and even India have given this performance without Harmanpreet, right? She got injured, and earlier it was said that she will not be participating in the first ODI. But then they said she will not be participating in the second and third ODI as well, because she is crucial part in our middle overs normally, right? Mm-hmm. And she is captain for our T20s as well. So without Harmanpreet and backup players doing so well, even Meghna Singh, she was... backup player, right? I mean, she was just debuting in this series, and she bowled really well. So I think a lot of credit to India women. And of course, there are still a lot of issues. Like we said in the beginning as well, that India is failing to put good runs on the board. Of course, in the second ODI, they have come better on that aspect as well. And I hope really they'll improve further on that. And there is one crucial issue regarding Mithali Raj and her strike rate, and a lot of noise surrounding that. And I really hope Pawar and Mithali Raj probably, you know, unlike last time, they'll sit together and come to a good conclusion or where she'll bat and the rate at which she has to score. And I think there is clearly a difference between thought process of what is required and what Mithali is expecting. Probably there is a press statement as well where Mithali has said that not individual scores or something or strike rate or aggressive play. What she really wanted is good partnerships. But I'm not really sure at what cost those partnerships are required. And I still feel there is some differences there. But I hope those will get ironed out as we go to the next series, and they'll, you know, really work at the back end. And I really hope again, India will take this momentum into the pink ball test, right? So it's again, it's good to see Indian women also playing test matches when they're visiting abroad. They played in England and it was a beautiful match after India gave an amazing comeback in that match as well. So it's a pink ball match again. India is playing for the first time. India women are playing for the first time. So let's hope they'll take this momentum and they'll win the pink ball test match.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to see. I think we could summarize, you've said that. Good to see Indian women playing tests and playing longer series and multi-format series is at that. And you know, this will immensely help in terms of shattering that kind of baggage that might have been created by Australia, you know, this baggage of Australia being unbeatable and Australia not being, you know, somebody that India can push forward. We have seen that the biggest games that India has lost to in the last 2 years, also just before the pandemic, the final of the World T20, that was also to Australia. In Australia, this can clear a lot of things, and let's just hope that Indian team goes from strength to strength and does their best. In fact, I it will be a tough challenge, of course, playing the first pink ball, playing Australia, the difference in conditions. It's still a fairly young team that India has put forward, and for a lot of them, it will be the first time that they're playing Test cricket in Australia. So it's being a good challenge, and I'm sure the girls will rise up to the task.
I think be it men's game or women's game, one thing that Australia will take a note of is when they are a winning streak, don't play against India. right?
Yeah, but it was supposed to end at some point. I don't think
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, I'm referring to the men's team.
I do understand.
Of test matches and then the women's team winning streak of ODI matches. It was amazing. I'm just telling it on a lighter note. So let's move to IPL, Raja. So again, I think in last episode, we have reviewed till episode 33. So let's look from the match 34, which is between Mumbai versus Kolkata, which happened in Abu Dhabi. So again, Rohit Sharma is back into the team. Still, Hardik is not back in the team. Again, it is not clear on what kind of injury that he is facing and how long it is going to take. But as we see things now, Hardik has not yet come back into the team. Rohit has come back. Mumbai has been put into the batting first. So they got a good start, I would say. They got a really good start. They got 56 runs and without loss of wicket at the end of first six overs. And once Rohit got out, it all went downfall, I would say. So it's quite surprising when the team gets almost 60 runs in the first six overs and they could add only 100 runs and yeah. A team with batting lineup of Mumbai, right? They have Surya Kumar Yadav, Ishan Kishan, Pollard and Quinton de Kock is in quite good touch and it's really surprising. So again, Mumbai ended with only 155 runs on the board. I think credit has to be given to KKR bowling and way they have pulled back the match, yeah. Right? Brilliant piece of bowling by even Prasidh Krishna, though he conceded runs, he got crucial wickets. He got Surya Kumar Yadav and Quinton de Kock and Lockie Ferguson was amazing. Even Varun Chakravarti haven't got a wicket, but yet he has bowled with really controlled bowling and probably teams will have planned for these players, right? They must be looking to just finish off his overs. He just conceded 22 runs of the four overs, right? It is more like Rashid Khan. We'll see many times where teams just decides not to go against him. So they have put a target of 156 runs to Kolkata Knight Riders. And your thoughts on how Kolkata took it, Raja?
I think, it's been seven, eight, nine games that we've seen in UAE in this stint of the IPL. I think there are a couple of things that we've seen firsthand. I think it's getting very difficult for new batsmen to start off and carry on the momentum that that has been achieved in the power play. That's been a trend so far that I can see. Barring someone like a KKR, every other team who's gotten off to a good start is struggling to finish well. We have seen this unfold many a times, especially even in, we'll speak about the other games, but also in Sharjah especially. Similarly, the second point is that more and more as the tournament is progressing and the pitches are getting slower, the spinners are having an upper hand. What you spoke about, the three spinners of Varun and Sunil Narayan and also Nitish Rana bowled an over. So the all nine overs, I think they went for around 47 or 48 runs. That really choked Mumbai's run, having seen the domination that they had at the end of the power play. Having said that, in the way they've positioned their chase was in complete contrast to what was expected, I think. Venkatesh Narayan. I think when we did a preview also, I think it was Ricky, right? Ricky spoke about Venkatesh Iyer being such a phenomenon and is looking forward to seeing him play because that's what he's heard and seen in terms of the little bit of that we've seen in the Syed Mushtaq Ali. What incredible hitting and the kind of confidence that he has these are not your small time bowlers. He's hitting Trent Bolt and Adam Milne. Jasprit Bumrah is coming forward and
Rahul Chahar.
Everybody, nobody could come, they couldn't threaten him. And you could see people, they were trying to bowl out of his arc instead of, and you can see the bowlers immediately changing their plans. They were not trying to swing it. They were not trying to get close to the stumps. They were just trying to stay away outside his arc and trying to just minimize the damage. And when this is your second game in the IPL and when you're coming in with that kind of a form and you're able to create... there's a phrase, right? You're building real estate in the bowlers' minds. So when you're able to occupy that kind of a space, what better testament there is. And this, I wouldn't call him a kid because he's missing, but this is an immense talented player. We can get to some kind of a shortcomings where I think I felt like he was tiring pretty quickly after 25, 30 balls, where he was just trying to like whack everything and not trying to push ahead.
It's really hot out there, man.
I mean, it is, of course. Yeah. But I think I said it to a friend of mine as well, that he seems like the Indian version of Gale in terms of his long range and in terms of not.
And he's left-hander as well.
Yeah, left-hander, and he's not trying to run it and take a quick single and all that, because he trusts that he can whack the ball anywhere. And also credit where it's due, very underrated cricketer again, Rahul Tripathi.
Rahul Tripathi.
And this could have turned, right? We just spoke about how it was getting difficult for batsmen to start off, and he kept building on the momentum that Shubman and Venkatesh Iyer built. Incredible hitting, clean hitting, and you didn't see him get frazzled at all. Those lofted sweeps, or even the, you know, using his feet to hit Chahar out, and incredible band, great partnership to see. And I think this is the kind of lineup that will threaten other teams. And this is Morgan's England's blueprint. Starting from ball one, you have players who are able to like get out and hit out. And even you could see it in the approach of Shubman Gill as well. The last couple of games, the first two games that they have, Shubman is also trying to like not just occupy the crease or just trying to run at it and all that. He's trying to play more freely, more dominate the bowling attack.
Yeah.
Incredible. And I think it was very pleasant to see. And
One surprising thing is Bumrah got all the three wickets, yet he went for 43 runs of the four overs. Right.
Exactly.
So, I mean, they played as if they are playing against a, you can say, if I can say, club cricket, right?
Yeah.
They are just, ripped apart every bowler, and they finished the target of 159 in 15 overs.
Exactly.
That's really amazing.
Trent bowled two overs. The great Trent bowled. He's been just limited to two.
Yeah.
They had to bring in guys like Krunal, and this could be more, you know, like darting into it. But even Krunal went for a lot of runs. But better compared to the rest of the bowlers. But incredible. Great batting performance.
And actually, this win, more than anything, has changed the points table completely, right? They have pushed Mumbai down.
Yeah.
And they have come back to, you know, fourth position in the points table. They were nowhere. Kolkata Knight Riders were nowhere when they were starting the game in UAE, right?
Yeah.
Because they were in the seventh place. They couldn't find the right winning combination or right players to go and score runs. They were struggling literally in India. And I don't know, probably they would have remembered the 2014 season, where the first half has been played in UAE and second half has been played in India.
Yeah.
And when they were leaving UAE, they were at seventh place in the table, and they went on to win the tournament in 2014.
Correct.
So it was incredible how they have come back, and I hope they will give many more interesting matches. So let's move on to next match, Raja. Match number 35, which is Bangalore versus Chennai. Right? Always an interesting match. Fortunately or unfortunately, Dhoni and Virat Kohli has posed together, and that has become a news for every news channel, everyone. They kept showing that as if they are meeting after 15-20 years for the first time, or Sachin and Ganguly playing together again. Now it's just Dhoni and Virat Kohli, man. Let's concentrate on game. So again, Royal Challengers batted first, and they had a brilliant start. I would say they scored 55 runs in the power play, and then when Virat Kohli got out, he scored 111 runs, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, the team score is 111 at the end of 13.2, and it was Sharjah. This was the first game at Sharjah, and it all seemed like they will go on and score 200. Because if you remember, in the last season, the first game at Sharjah, Sanju Samson, I think he scored a century or so. It was high scoring. We all know, like, as the games progress, like maybe after 5 or 6 matches, the pitches at Sharjah will start becoming slow. But this being the first match of the season, we all thought it is a definite 200 score. But Really, I think we should mention that the pitch also started behaving a little bit weird there. I mean, it's definitely a two-paced and it started turning not very much, but at the same time, being both Devdutt Padikkal and Kohli getting out in the middle, probably RCB struggled a bit there. And I would say they have left there probably 15-20 runs and they ended the innings with 156. Again, credit to CSK bowlers there, definitely, because they pulled back the match really, really well. Because from nowhere, like 13.2 overs, RCB score is 111 for one. Right from there, putting up only 156 is definitely a disappointing effort. And Bravo, he's playing as if he is 20 years old, man. Like he's batting well, he's taking wickets. Even in the first match, he batted well, and I think he took 3 wickets in the previous match as well. In this match as well, he took 3 wickets and really amazing performance by CSK. Your thoughts on how they started and how their batting went?
Firstly, just to say, you know, they were 111 for one, again, lost their first wicket at Nelson. That would be another thing there. But a point to note, what another thing that we can mention here is that guys like Glenn Maxwell, AB de Villiers, Tim David, the three of them put together, they made 24 runs together in 23 balls. And in that was a phase where, as you said, Bravo and Jadeja were literally like choking the flow of runs and trying to make it very difficult. You don't expect that. Even if you say that if you have like these three names who are playing here and they played, they had like 6-7 overs left and they faced most of it, they would have any other condition, any other time, most 9 times out of 10, you would expect a huge number of runs. Incredible to see Chennai shining so well, having had a tough season. And it's not just that, and the break might have also helped because of the all of these guys are pretty, you know, like on the higher end of the 30s side, and maybe the break would have helped and would have made them come a little more refreshed because they weren't playing anything else. And I think that all of those things might have factored in. And I was expecting, and even though all the commentary team was saying that it would have been a 200 plus game, and nothing of that sort. And very important and very strange to see that kind of a scoreline, but that happened. And coming to Chennai's chase, Ruturaj Gaikwad and Faf du Plessis built a very solid partnership. Good to see Faf playing so well. I think he didn't do all that much in the first game, played in UAE. Good solid opening partnership against just when RCB thought that things were going to be difficult. You know, like Kohli comes up with an incredible catch and turns things around. Yeah. What did you think about that?
I think, they have seen the game. It's a typical Dhoni style of playing, I would say. They have seen how the pitch is behaving. They know that they have to get runs in the power play. And after that, the way that they have played is amazing, Raja. It's not that they are in a hurry to get runs. At the same time, they were cautious that they have to rotate the strike and get some odd boundaries here and there so that the score pressure will not come. Yeah. And of course, Harshal Patel got wickets in between. He got Moeen Ali out, Raidu out. But I'm happy to see Raina getting runs again. In the first match, he was looking terrible. I thought for a second that he forgot how to bat, literally against the fast bowlers. So,
just to add to that, I think he got tough for KS Bharat. He missed a simple stumping opportunity. For Raina, and that also helped probably Raina's game a bit.
And I think there is a trick that has been missed by Virat here, because he should not have brought spinners when Raina has come for batting. He should have intimidated Raina a bit more, bringing in the fast bowlers when he has come there. Not much overs left there, but still, seeing how Raina has played against the fast bowlers in the previous match, probably he would have tried that. But again, they have won with 2 overs in spare. So they have definitely left maybe 20 runs. They would have scored 175 or something to give a competitive total there. But again, like I said, it's a typical Chennai style of batting, and they have literally dominated the game from where they took on, right? Once Virat Kohli got out in the first innings, from there on till the end of Chennai's batting, I would say Chennai has clearly dominated.
Coming to RCB's bowling, I also wanted to talk about Hasiranga a bit. We've seen him for two games now. Kind of struggling, you think? He's bowling some beautiful balls, and it's also in the same over, he's also leaking a lot of runs. What did you feel about that? On a very tough chase, and where spinners might have given RCB a bit of an edge, he went for 40 or 4 overs.
And no wickets. I think, Chahal is also a leg spinner, right? Hasaranga is also a leg spinner. It's not that, you know, pitch is not assisting. Chahal is bowling well. At the same time, Hasaranga is leaking runs. So I feel maybe, I don't know, I'm just guessing, maybe there is an IPL pressure because he was not part of the IPL and it's a marquee tournament and he was selected in between. So probably that pressure might be there. But I think he's going to be an important factor still in their unit. We haven't seen him batting, but I think he's a decent batter as well.
Yeah. He's a decent man. But again, also couldn't do much with the bat also.
That's what I said. I mean, in two matches, he couldn't do much. I think he came to batting both the times, if I remember correctly. In this match, he played only one ball. But I think in previous match, he got out early. So, let's see what things are in store. Let's move on to next match.
Yeah, before that, I just wanted to summarize this thing. I think things will get a little difficult for RCB. They've got 5 games left and they may, because of the poor run rate that they've had, because of the massive defeat against KKR, 14 might not be enough, right? 14 points definitely may not be enough to get them into the playoffs. They might have to win 3 out of the next 5. I think RCB needs to come up, and look forward to that challenge because it might, and because the other teams are also improving quite rapidly.
Definitely, I agree with you, Raja. I think the situation is more or less same for a few more teams as well. Let's look at points table a bit later and let's proceed with the match number 36, which is Delhi Capitals versus Rajasthan Royals. Both the teams were coming from a win, right? Rajasthan has come from a win and from a wonderful win against Punjab Super Kings. And Delhi is also coming from a win. So again, Delhi has been put to batting first and they lost their openers or trusted lieutenants early, right? Because Prithvi Shah and Shikhar Dhawan have been giving amazing starts in the Indian leg and I mean, they were the backbone, I would say. There is a lot of pressure on their middle order when Iyer was not there, especially in India. So, good to see Iyer back into the scheme of things and getting runs. He played well in the first match as well and he played really well here as well. And his first match, of course, his strike rate was less and it was his comeback match and there was not much of pressure. So, that was given there. And this match, he was literally really good at rotating the strike and hitting those 4s or 6s. He got some good runs there and Pant again was struggling. I don't know what happens to Pant many times in T20. He struggles many times in T20s, more so in international T20s. But again, he got a runnable 24 runs and Hetmyer and probably Akshar, they have done a bit in the end. Overall, they have put 154 runs on the board. Again, it felt like they have left some runs there. But again, with the kind of bowling attack that Delhi has, Ashwin, Akshar Patel, Rabada and Nokia, Avesh Khan. So it was intimidating and Rajasthan being the other side, definitely it's game on actually. I would say at 154, it was not completely lost. It was a game on. And Rajasthan, you have any thoughts? If Manoj was here today, he would have, said something. But it was pathetic batting performance from Rajasthan. And literally, no one struck there and supported Samson, who is batting alone at one side. So, your thoughts on how Rajasthan Royals batted?
I think you've put it up pretty well. It was pretty pathetic in terms of their approach to the run chase. Lost wickets early. Nobody try to stick around with Samson, who's playing beautifully. Experienced guys, right? You have Livingstone not doing much. You had David Miller, who had an opportunity after a long time to get into the 11, and him struggling. And after that, you have guys like Lomro, Parag, Tevatia also not doing all that much. I don't think the pitch turned differently. It was just good batting and good bowling and very average batting from Rajasthan, to summarize.
Definitely, and Nokia, I mean, I don't know what happened to him when he came back. Literally in the previous match as well, he bowled really well. The kind of pace that he is bowling at, yeah. I think he bowled 4 or 5 balls of 149 plus in the previous match. And even in this match, he bowled 4 overs. He gave only 18 runs and he took 2 wickets. Amazing. And Ashwin really bowled well in this match. Previous match, I think he went for a few runs. And somehow, between Pant and Ashwin, I'm not sure. Somehow, I always felt Pant was not using Ashwin well. Even in the previous match, I don't know, when Ashwin was there, Akshar Patel was bowling in the power play.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
we all know how Ashwin became famous. By bowling power play overs in the CSK camp, right? He used to bowl first over as well in few instances, if I remember, long back. But somehow, I don't know what is their bowling plan, but I always felt Pant doesn't use Ashwin really well. But overall, he got his 4 overs quota and finished every bowler has got a wicket, and they have ensured there is enough pressure being kept on Rajasthan Royals by chipping wickets at very regular intervals. And
this is probably the kind of, just going back to the RCB game, this is kind of the approach probably that Kohli would have preferred, right? All bowlers bowling in tandem and keeping the pressure and not giving away runs and no loose balls. Similar kind of a score targets as well. Nice to see that Ashwin got a full quota of his overs after a bit of a time in T20. And guys like, as you said, not Noke and Rabada have been firing on all cylinders, and they've kept the pressure again. Good to see Avesh Khan also. He had a bit of an average game, I thought, against Saric.
Yeah.
But good to see him back as well. Yeah, if you look at the scoreline in itself, right, you have one guy who's playing at a strike rate of 130 and who's made 70 who's not out. And the team ended up as 120 after, and they still had wickets in hand. So I didn't think that they lost a bit of the approach also. I think they didn't try to go hard or try to chase that score. And also, it was made difficult by the bowlers. But still, we always look at Rajasthan as a young team. It has always been that kind of a team. Probably this will help. This will also be a bit of a learning curve from them, because they are good contenders. They're the spot that they find themselves in. They can definitely look at making it to the playoffs, and hopefully they'll go from they'll learn a few things from here and go forward.
Yeah. So let's move on to match number 37, SRH versus Punjab. So Punjab, as always, they like, I don't know why and how, they like, at least 2-3 changes in a match. It really worries me many times, because who is at Punjab? It's KL Rahul and Anil Kumble, right? And these two names are the names that are popping up as next coach and next captain for India. With this kind of thought process or with this kind of game strategies, I'm really worried if these two can be, used as coach and captain for India. But again, let's look into the match. And Punjab has put a disappointing score on the board, I would say. KL Rahul and Mayank Agarwal, I would say they are like Shikhar Dhawan and Prithvi Shah for Delhi Capitals in the first 7 matches, right? When they score well, really the team scores well. When they don't score, normally Punjab fails. That has been the story in the first half of IPL as well. But overall, they have put a very disappointing score, 125 of 20 overs. And we have to appreciate the bowling of SRH, right? So you have been a very avid follower of SRH. So tell us about the bowling of SRH there.
Good. I think this was a very good bowling performance. They've kept tight lines, and I think they assessed, the bowlers assessed the conditions pretty well. They knew that kind of if you ball those cutters and the slower ones, and the scoring was pretty difficult even in the power play, even for guys like Rahul, Mayank, Gill and all that. So they've kept it very compact. I think the plans were pretty good to all the batsmen, and they made sure that the score was was kept to a low. And it was also nice to see Bhuvi also doing pretty well. He went for a few runs in the last couple of overs, but his bowled is full four and took a wicket also. Pretty good. But the star, as I thought, was Jason Holder.
Amazing.
Great,
man.
To see him bowl and just keep that, that high, the tough lines and making run scoring difficult. And yeah, three wickets on a very...
And imagine this guy is not even in the 15 probables for West Indies in the World Cup.
Yeah, but that doesn't talk about that. That isn't a reflection of Jason Holder. It's about
of Jason Holder.
I'm just saying West Indies is such a, it's got so much talent in this format that even a great performer like a Jason Holder finds it tough to get into the squad. But I'm sure every team might see changes from here onwards until the opening of the World Cup, because there are a lot of international players playing in UAE, getting used to the conditions. And if there is an opportunity, if there is someone falling, things happen in cricket, people might be injured, people might drop out. Those kind of things, these kind of experiences will help not just their individual performances, but also to get into the national squad and going on towards the World Cup as well. But moving back to SRH's bowling performance, pretty good, well composed and well executed plans. Guys like, I think this is a pretty standard SRH bowling performance.
I felt it is as if they are playing in Hyderabad only, own pitch where they choose, opponents, and then their batting will come and just to whatever those 140, 150 runs that they have to score, right?
Yeah. But it didn't happen that way.
Yeah. So, but once they started batting, it all felt like they both are fighting, saying, no, we are the bad team. No, we are the bad team, right? So it's not about who is better team there. It's about who is bad team there, right?
Yeah.
Punjab, again, they have lost previous match in the last ball. In the last over, I would say, and Sunrisers, it's completely a different tournament altogether for them. And David Warner, I don't know what's happening. Normally, we don't see him struggle so much for so long, right?
Yeah.
Even in the first game also, he got out early, and this game also, he got out early. Probably, he has been removed from the captaincy. A lot of things must be on his mind, but I'm sure he want to go there and perform well and then prove to the management that what he is capable of. But unfortunately, that's not happening. So your thoughts, Raja, on how SRH played there?
Oh, terrible, man. It was so hard to watch. And what you spoke about Warner, I would just add to that. He has had a bad first leg of the IPL. Everybody has seen that. He struggled. He's lost captaincy. The manner of him losing captaincy was also something to be pointed out. But since the IPL ended, he has not played cricket at all. He didn't go to the 100. He didn't play for Australia. He's sat out on so much. When I think that was also something that could have been looked at as a bad move. When he's short of confidence, short of that touch and maybe the way to break that kind of a mold was to play cricket. I think he didn't do that. Probably that also made him a little more rustier than normal. So you could see he regularly faces guys who are bowling 140s and 150s in Australia, right? And nets itself. They've got such a brilliant bowling attack. You saw him rattled by Nokia, right? And this time it was just Mohammad Shami. Mohammad Shami doesn't have that kind of a pace, and it was the manner in which he got out, wide, flashing outside and giving a simple nick to KL Rahul. If that was one part of the disastrous beginning, losing Kane Williamson also, almost immediately, right? Broke the back. I could just say that having and losing these two guys with
and then, the yeah. test match started, right?
Yeah. to his credit, Saha did try, but Manish Pandey also struggled pretty badly. And much wanted 13 of 23 in a chase of 120 odd. It wasn't as if they were unplayable. It's just a very disappointing bad campaign for Manish Pandey. He's lost his, you know, I do. Objectively speaking, he's way down the pecking order now in terms of his entry into the Indian squad, because he's fell off the rungs so many times.
Oh, and forget about Indian squad, Raja. If he plays like this, I'm not sure whether he'll be picked in the next IPL, if at all, right?
You the could, way that no, he could be picked, but he won't get the same money, obviously.
Obviously, yeah. That's what I meant. I mean, he may be picked with 2 crores or 3 crores.
And he will also be played as a backup only. You will not get... It's only because Manish Pandey is with Sunrisers that he's getting games. Any other team, any other franchise, any other year, any other squad, nobody would give him this kind of... He's essentially played all 8 matches, right? He's not been left out. And now, what do...
I think he has been left out once in the first half, no?
Probably. But again, with any other team, he wouldn't be given so many opportunities, is what I was trying to say. Yeah. But again, the hopes were arisen again when Jason Holder came into the picture.
He's the what only are person... those sixes, man? He has hit 5 sixes and yeah, every yeah. time I thought, okay, someone is going to take the catch, but it was going long way. The way he's hitting sixes, and I think if the score at the end of the, innings, if it is looking 120 and if someone say they lost by only 5 runs, I think it is only because of Jason Holder,
correct,
right?
Correct. And to their credit, the young boys of they bowled really well. Harpreet Brar, Ashdeep Singh, Ravi Bishnoi.
And Ravi Bishnoi, man. I don't know incredible. Why he was not playing the previous match.
Yeah.
The kind of speed that he is bowling at is what I feel is rattling the opposition batsman, right?
Yeah.
Bowling a googly at what? 95, 97 kilometers per hour. That's not probably for Kuldeep, it may be a lifetime faster ball. Bowling at 95 kilometers per hour. Yesterday, his average pace was 95 kilometers per hour. Average.
Very, very good to see. Very, very good
I think
to see.
His fastest ball was about 99 kilometers per hour. Amazing piece of talent. And to say someone of 21 years is doing that, it's incredible.
Yeah, that's what I mean. All these, you know, you have these 3 youngsters who bowled 12 overs for what? 49, 51, 71 runs. 12 over under a run ball. And then added to that, you have Mohammad Shami who's in the bowling form of his life, 4 overs for 14. So you have 16 overs for 85. So what?
And Arshdeep Singh, Raja.
That's right. Yeah.
And Arshdeep Singh, I feel he's very close to India call-up in T20 set list.
Correct.
Such an amazing guy and such an amazing control that he has. And every time... Even if he gets hit in the first spell, he comes back in the second spell.
Yeah.
And he's literally shaping up to be a very, very reliable bowler in the death overs, right?
Yeah. And good for Punjab to have scraped through. These are the kind of wins that will give you a lot of confidence going forward. Because
I'm not sure about it for Punjab. For other teams, I'm sure.
When you say that they have made so many changes in their team, I think that last over rattled them against Rajasthan. Yeah. When you're in that kind of a frantic kind of a mindset, and when you come up with this kind of a win, nervy, low scoring, and you had to have, it was entirely built on the shoulders of the bowlers. You needed good bowling to make you win. And the bowling squad is very young. And when you see the youngsters stepping up and doing so well in tough conditions and tough games, I think this will give the management also a bit of confidence in continuing with the kind of not making too many changes.
See, Raja, I will simply put it this way. Punjab has played 10 matches. They have won 2, right? I think maybe 4 matches or so of the last 6 were close matches.
Mm-hmm.
Had they converted at least 2 of them, today they would have won 6 out of 10, and
yeah.
probably they would have been on top, I mean, third position in the points
correct,
table.
Correct, correct.
Right. So I'm just looking at the points table, and it is looking really amazing, man. I mean, it's wide and open except for SRH, and theoretically, probably SRH can also qualify, and practically it is not going to be possible anyway. But other than that, the points table is wide and open. Delhi Capitals and CSK are dominating
yeah.
really every other team, and they are piling up the run rate as well, right? CSK has so much run rate that they can even loan to one or two teams if required. So it's pretty much wide and open as we see now. Delhi Capitals, CSK, RCB and KKR are in top four. Again, Punjab, Mumbai and Rajasthan Royals are at the same points as KKR, but with a difference in run rates. And I really hope the coming games are going to make a big impact on points table, and we are going to see a lot of shuffling in the points table.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the kind of... this is a good space for any IPL fan, because week to week things will change, and you have your... This is usually the point where all teams have hopes, especially not considering SRH, all teams have hopes of moving into the playoffs. And it's these kind of moments that you actually separate the men from the boys, which will the kind of composure, the kind of team effort that you can put in to take your team ahead. Great to see Delhi doing so well. Great to see Chennai doing so well. Chennai has had an average year last time around. When the tournament started, everybody was talking about Mumbai Indians doing a triple, right? Maybe getting a little tougher. What do you feel?
See, I'm worried actually at the current situation when Mumbai is not playing well, because right now India team is invested so much into Mumbai team, right? They have Surya Kumar Yadav, Ishan Kishan, Rohit Sharma, and then
Bumrah,
lot of
Pandya.
Players. Pandya, Hardik Pandya, I mean, half of the, I mean, 15 out of 15 probables, there are 5 or 6 players from Mumbai, right? And Surya Kumar Yadav and Ishan Kishan failing and again is actually giving me heart attacks. But one thing I would say is good thing that is happening is Iyer getting runs on the other side,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's more or less between Iyer and Surya Kumar Yadav, to be frank. So Iyer is already in the backups. And if this form continues for Surya Kumar Yadav and for Iyer, both of them, if Iyer kept getting runs and Surya Kumar Yadav kept getting failed, I'm not sure what will be the final combination when, you know, the tournament starts. And let's see. I mean, as far as we have backup players, I'm not worried whether he is Mumbai Indian.
Yeah,
India
has backups. India
no,
doesn't have any shortage
no,
of
But
backups.
They have to be declared ahead, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
15 players, plus I think India has declared 3 more players other than those 15, and Iyer being one there. And if he's playing well, I'm sure in no time he will be made into 15 and again into playing 11.
Yeah, yeah. Again, early days in this.
Yeah, we have only seen 2 matches. Mm. A lot more matches are left in this season itself. So let's see, and let's hope we'll get an interesting balanced tournament. And let's talk about today, Raja. We have 2 matches today. As we speak, Chennai is playing against Kolkata, and we have MI versus RCB match in the evening. So let's try and pick winners today. Forget about what's the score of KKR now and who is batting first. So Chennai and Kolkata, who is going to win?
I think Chennai is a tough team to beat.
Okay. RCB versus MI?
I think MI.
MI.
MI
so I'm picking Chennai and RCB. So let's see. Let's review probably when we connect again. So let's hope we'll get an interesting 2 matches today. And that's all for today's episode. Please do subscribe to our YouTube channel and do leave your review on Apple Podcast if you are listening to this on any of the Apple platforms, and follow us on Spotify and Google Podcasts to get notified when we release a new episode. Thanks for tuning in. Bye bye.